Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from Traveler's Rest, South Carolina. We're out traveling a little bit this weekend. This is Dr. John Stamey, and I want to welcome everybody to Wrestling Tonight, the place where you can find the most current news about wrestling in the world and talk to great wrestlers from the past. So we're glad to have everybody here. We've got a jam-packed show with our guests and our co-hosts, so I'm not going to keep anything from happening. First of all, I want to introduce from Chicago, Illinois, one of the great managers of wrestling, Chaz Moretti. Happy birthday, Chaz Moretti. How are you doing?
Well, thank you so much. So I'm enjoying my birthday, and everything's going very well. And I just want to say how proud I am to be a part of this podcast and to be a part of the North American Wrestling Alliance, which is, as everybody knows by now, back with a vengeance and looking to have great things happen in not only 2020, but also 2021 and beyond. So I'm extremely proud to be here. In fact, I also want to introduce our other co-host, the maestro of professional wrestling, Papa Stro. Papa Stro, how are you tonight?
Great to be here with you guys. Always a pleasure.
Awesome. Glad to have you. And then without further ado, I'd like to introduce our first guest. Our first guest is the godfather of professional wrestling. He is the promoter and owner of the North American Wrestling Alliance, Mr. Tony Capone. Tony, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Chaz. Happy birthday to you again, my man.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So, Tony, a lot of stuff going on with the NAWA. Some stuff that you want to discuss. The floor is now yours. Any announcements that you want to make, have at it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate the whole crew down there for giving us this platform to actually, on a weekly basis, fill the fans in on what's happening with the NAWA. As it was announced earlier this week, we did sign a deal with Fight TV, and it's a pay-per-view deal with them, onto that pay-per-view, IPTV. And we're going to have an event, which is officially coming out this week, but I'll give the background today on your show. It's going to be held December 19th at the Ocean Center in Daytona Beach, Florida. And tickets will be going on sale late this week. There's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes between franchises and merchandising. It's nonstop and wrestlers. And we're actually, with Paul on my side, we're getting the best of the best of the independent market and bringing it all to fruition. So we have a great team. Things are changing literally hour by hour, not even day by day. So, like I always say, I'm humbled, and you know, to be accepted for what we're doing, it's really humbling. It really is, Chaz.
Oh, thanks, Tony. For those listeners that may be joining in for the first time tonight or joining in for the second time tonight, can you explain what the vision is of the NAWA that's going to set it apart from every other professional wrestling promotion that's out there?
The whole concept behind it is, as some people are aware, we co-promoted with the UWF back in late 89 to early 92. And, you know, Herb Abrams had the talent, and I was able to do the merchandising and put people in the seats. So it was like really a match made in heaven. And what we're trying to do nowadays with the team that's in place, you know, with Paul Roma, Mario Mancini, Cindy, and all the other people behind us, we're looking to take that 80s, 90s product, the pop, the flair from that period of time, and just bring that to a 2021 platform. So we're combining part of the old with part of the new. And later on tonight, when Paul comes on, he'll give you his side of the vision, and we're both on the same page. But I'd like Paul to actually address that as the CEO of the company and his vision with mine together. So we're really trying hard behind the scenes to get the best possible product out there with storylines, where there's like 50 minutes of wrestling and 10 minutes of talk, not 50 minutes of talk and 10 minutes of wrestling. You know, that's part of the vision. You know, so it's very intense behind the scenes, and we have meetings that are like nonstop with ideas being thrown back and forth, and you know, organizing the best possible team together. Yeah, you know, at this point, Jazz.
Oh, thank you, Tony, for bringing that to light. Again, you know, I know how swamped busy you are with everything that's going on behind the scenes of the NAWA. We would love to have you stay on if you can to talk to our panel when our panel's let in. Hopefully you can do that. What do you think?
Absolutely. I'd be honored to stay on board and just hear the show from a different perspective for a while. And I haven't heard from Papa Show in a couple of weeks, so I'm dying to hear him again, my man.
All right, very good. Without further ado, I want to introduce my co-host. He is, again, the maestro of professional wrestling, Papa Stroh Maestro. Papa Stroh, how are you again tonight, sir?
Great to be here with you guys. Doing good.
Well, thank you so much. Would you do us the honor of introducing our featured guest?
Yes. This gentleman needs no introduction. A true athlete in every sense in the world, and has had a remarkable career in pro wrestling, and now is venturing into the NAWA. Without further ado, let me introduce you guys to the one and only Paul Roma. Paul Roma, pleasure to have you with us.
Well, hey, it's great to be on your show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Let's get to it. How did you come about getting involved in pro wrestling? Take us to the beginning.
Wow. I haven't said this in a long time. In all actuality, I had a baby sister that was born with Down syndrome, and I just wanted to do something, worthwhile with my life and try and become a role model for these kids and go visit them and, excite them, give them hope. And that's what got me, down that trail.
That's awesome. Oh, gosh.
Somebody's
I mean, what inspiration? Does it get more inspirational than that? No doubt. So you were brought in the business by, if I understand, Tony Altamar. Is that how you pronounce it? The name?
Yeah. Tony Altamar had a school in Connecticut, professional wrestling school, and that's where I started. But only until Mr. Fuji, wrapped his arms around me and took me under his wing is when things really started to happen and him really, get me to understand, wrestling, professional wrestling as a whole and what it meant and, the ring psychology and all that good stuff.
That's awesome. I know Fuji has... It's widely known Fuji was one of the biggest rivers during his time, but he also was known for looking out for the boys back in the day. Do you have any good Mr. Fuji stories you'd like to share with us?
Well, listen, we could be out here for days with Fuji stories. he actually was the biggest river. You're absolutely correct with that. And when ribs got out of hand, Vince would come to him, and he'd ask Fuji to knock it off. Because he knew where it was coming from. So, Fuji was he was something else, man. He was a great guy, though. Great guy.
Oh, man. No. God, I miss him. You've had a storied career. I mean, you've been involved with some of the best teams in wrestling history. Power and Glory with Hercules Hernandez. Pretty Wonderful with Paul Orndorff. Tell us what it was like teaming with those guys.
Well, teaming with Paul Orndorff, he actually approached me and asked me what I felt about us two tagging. And I said, to tag with you would be an honor, and, I'd be happy to do that. And he was all excited and asked me to come up. Well, said we had to come up with a name. And it was funny. It happened as fast as he walked away from me. I looked at the back of his trunks, and I said, I have a name. And he said, already? And I said, yeah. I said, how about Pretty Wonderful? And he goes, what? I said, well, I'm Pretty Paul. You're Mr. Wonderful. What about Pretty Wonderful? And that was it. Right there in the locker room within 5-10 minutes, yeah. As far as Ray Hernandez, was concerned, Hercules was probably – if not the greatest tag team partner I ever had. We just gelled, man. We hit it off. As far as when we had our first match, everybody stood around the monitors that we're going to watch because they wanted to see our finish. They said it couldn't be done the way we explained it to them, and we pulled it off. And then it was just history from there. Can't say enough about them. I talk about them all the time. And, again, family, friend, yeah, just it doesn't get any better than the relationship that we had in and out of that ring. But, you know, again, you have to remember something. You only go as far as they let you go.
That's right. Yeah, that's so true.
You know, so true. It doesn't matter how good you are.
Yeah, exactly. Power to pencil, right?
That's it. The power to pencil. But,
Yeah,
good stuff, man. You know, and now, you know, NAWA, we're going to, listen, here's what's going on. We plan on revolutionizing wrestling yet again. So it's old school with a new flair, you know, a new catch to it. You know, people miss the storylines. People miss, you know, the soap opera. You know, today in the new modern wrestling, as I call it, you know, it's all about talking. They go out there and, you know, when you turn on that TV and it's on for an hour, you want to see wrestling. That's what you want to see. But that's not what you see. You see a lot of talking. You see a few few minutes of wrestling, and then they go right back to the talking again. The creativity isn't there, you know, and people say, well, you know, who do you have for wrestlers? Well, you know what we have for wrestlers? The same people that everybody else had. We're starting out mostly with young studs is what we're starting out with. People that, you know, you want to see that are exciting, that are new, fresh blood. Not, you're not taking people from WWE and AEW and bringing them over, not doing that. People could get behind these guys, and it's new. You know, it's fresh. You turn the TV on, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, who's this guy? Hey, you know what? I really like this guy. I'm going to follow this guy. And then they start following these people, and they become, after a while, they become old news, you know? And then you want new people to start coming in. And that's just the nature of the beast. But, again, you know, exciting, fresh, and wrestling like people want it to be, like it used to be back in the day,
right?
You know, entertaining, you know, not a bunch of people talking all the time and saying what they're going to do, we're going to do. And that's very important to NAWA.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm so excited to have you be a part of it for sure. I know traveling
and
the world.
And I'm excited
like
to be a part of it. I really am.
Yeah.
I'm putting all my heart into this. I'm thinking, you know, again, you know, why the change? Why the difference? Because nobody – I hear the same complaints about wrestling today, you know? I mean, people are just craving something exciting to happen. And that's what we need to bring. With the NAWA, something exciting and different.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I'm really excited that you're a part of the NAWA, and I can't wait for you know, the great thing that's going to be happening soon with you all. You've traveled the world, I mean, and you know you stayed in constant great shape through the years. What was it like? You know, with the rigors of travel, what advice would you give to the newer athletes of the industry now?
You know, honestly, I always put my health first. So whether, you know, we fly to Japan or Germany or Italy, the Middle East, there was always a thought on my mind, my eating and where am I going to train? That's just how it was with me. And I exaggerate none in the least. Guys, we'd be traveling just within the States and on the plane. The guys say, hey, Roma, where's the gym when we get to Mississippi? Where's the gym when we get to Georgia? Where's it, you know? And I tell them, oh, this is where you want to go and blah, blah, blah. And that's how it worked with me. Very important that, you know, you kept your health. I mean, without your help, you're not going in the ring because you can't. And, you know, again, that was top priority. And then it was whether I was tired, beat up, hurting. You know, Orndorff told me something very important. He said, listen, Vince is never going to promote you because you look so good. And I looked at him, you know, with cross eyes and like, what do you mean by that? I would think that's who we want to promote. He says, no. He goes, listen, he's just not going to do it. He doesn't do it for me. He's not going to do it for you. He said, so whatever happens, you give the people what Paul Roma is all about every night in that ring. And it's it stuck with me. You know, and then Fuji said to me, listen, you have to remember to do one thing. Always separate who you are from that character. So when you get out of that ring, you're no longer Paul Roma. When you're in the ring, you're Paul Roma. When you get out, you're the other guy. And be able to separate the two. Otherwise, you're going to have real problems. And I actually have problems because separating the two did cause a problem. What people didn't like was the fact that I wasn't that guy. I wasn't Paul Roma when I, you know, got out of the ring. And people didn't want to hear that. You know, they wanted me to be that character all the time. So, you know, it kind of ran into some issues as far as that went. You know, hey, why don't you sign an autograph? Well, I'm in a mall with my family, and, you know, I'm trying to be me. And I've been signing for over, you know, 40 minutes now, and you people just want me to keep signing. And that's, you know, this is not it. This isn't happening anymore. You know, I have to move on and be with my family. So, you know, they didn't like it, but, you know, I ran into problems that way.
Well, you're so right. I mean, anybody that even tried, it'll drive you crazy. There's no way. You know what I mean? Oh, my God.
Yeah, you get three days off, you know, and you're not spending time signing autographs.
Unreal. Yeah, so, like, who were some of your favorite people to be in the ring with over the years?
Probably some of the easiest to work with were the Rockers. Mm-hmm. They're very easy to work with. You know, had great matches with the Rockers. The Hart Foundation, another great tag team to work with. You know, and then you had your... And not taking anything away from them as far as, you know, as a person is concerned. But then you get with like someone like the Nasty Boys, which was very difficult, you know. A lot of fun out of the ring. But in the ring, they're a little clumsy, and, you know, you had to be careful because, you know, you come out banged up.
Oh, I still know that feeling. I still know what you're saying. Oh, my goodness. God bless their hearts. gosh, is there any new stars in the industry right now that you kind of look up that think they have the potential to be really great?
You mean as far as that are wrestling for WWE now or AEW now? You're breaking up. I think I lost you.
Uh-oh, Papa Crow.
You're back. You're back. Sorry, somebody's back.
So, Paul, let's separate
that. Okay, I'll get back. Sorry.
You're back? Okay, great.
Yeah, good. I'm back. Sorry. Who are some of the people now that are currently correct? That's just great.
The people, look, there's a guy, and you know, I'm a little biased on this because he came out of my school, Richard Holiday. He wrestles for MLW.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's a phenomenal talent. And, you know, he had come up to me one day. He was watching one of our shows. One of our independent shows, and he says, hey, I get it. And I said, you do? And he says, yeah, I get it. He says, I can't believe how clear things are now. And that's fantastic. And what he meant by that was he understands ring psychology. So he understands how to engage the people, how to keep them, you know, in tune with the match, involved in that match. And that's mm-hmm. the hardest thing to learn, is that. The guys I see today, so we'll take everybody in general, okay? People are cookie cut right now. Wrestlers are cookie cut. So Vince is cookie cutting mm-hmm. these wrestlers. Look, you like The Rock because he's different. His character is different, right? You like The Undertaker because he's not like The Rock. He's also different. But what's going mm-hmm. on now is these guys are taking all these guys, and so they take you, they take me, and they take Tony, and they send us to developmental, and then when we get done, we may be wearing different clothes, different outfits, but we're doing the same thing. We're being told what to say, what to do, and it doesn't work. Why did you bring us on if you're making us all the same?
Right.
And that's the problem. That's exactly what's wrong with wrestling today. You know, NAWA is not going to do that. We're bringing in guys because they're different. Not just the way they look, the way they wrestle, the way they speak. We're not going to tell them what to say. We're not going to tell them how to wrestle in the ring. They're going to go out there and they're going to do their thing. And we're hoping that the people enjoy that. Because that's what made, look, if every golfer went out there and they shot the same score, who'd watch golf? Because everybody's going to die at the end of the day.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that's why, you know, we're going to hit the scene. We're going to hit it hard, and we're going to be different, but not too different. Different meaning a good different, where people want to mm-hmm. see us. They want to see our new wrestlers. They want to see something fresh, you know, and that's what we want to bring to that.
That's awesome. Much needed for sure. It's like for fans that want to keep in touch with you, Paul, how can they go about doing that? What are you up to?
They could go to, either website. They could go to NAWA website if they like. They could go to PAPW website.
Awesome.
That's the way to get in touch.
Okay. Okay. And
you know,
Paul,
we're also going to be running tryouts
mm-hmm.
For the NAWA, looking for talent. Listen, there's tons of talent out there. These guys can't get a shot, can't get a break. There's nowhere to go. You know, I mean, people don't want to hear from you. They don't want to know about, hey, listen, I want to wrestle. Well, that's great. You know, don't bother me. That's not what we're going to be. There's diamonds in the rough. And there's guys out there that are talented and females that are talented that aren't getting a shot, not getting a break. And we're going to give them that break.
That's awesome. It's awesome. Paul, it's been such a pleasure having you here and chatting with you. I'm going to throw it over back to the other guys and let them do their thing. But, man, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Yeah, Paul.
Thanks
a lot, Paul. We're going to take just a minute to thank some people and acknowledge some people, and then we're going to be right back with you. And we've got some additional folks that have some questions for you, and we're looking forward to that. So this is Dr. John saying thanks, number one, for the North America Wrestling Association, NAWA, for providing such great guests such as Paul Roma. I mean, Paul, you've got more credentials and have done more things than just about anyone I've ever interviewed, and it's such a pleasure to have you here. Tony Capone, we're so glad to have you here with us. Our co-hosts, Papa Stroh and Chaz Moretti. We're going to go back right now. We've got two other guests that come on and have great questions. First of all is the Amazing Velvet from Charleston, South Carolina. Are you here with us, Velvet?
I am.
Well, we're glad to have you. Steve Logan from Richmond, Virginia. Steve, are you here with us?
Yes.
Good. Well, I want you to join us on the panel as we talk to Paul and we talk to Tony, and we talk about wrestling in general. And I'll start with a question. It's a follow-up, Paul, from something that you were talking about, tryouts. How would, if I, now it's not going to be me, I'm a little too old, even though I know you want me to, Paul. If I wanted to try out in front of you or in front of your scouts, how would I specifically go about doing that?
Well, you right now you could go to, I mean, listen, you could put my number out there. I have no problem with that. We're going to announce when these tryouts are going to be. You know, again, I think it's very important that we give people, you know, wrestlers a chance. A break, so to speak. So, again, you could throw my number out there if you want me to. I'll put it out there. It's up to you.
Yep, that'd be great. You can do that, and I'll also make another offer. When you get some exact dates and times and emails of folks to contact to register, we will put that on the Wrestling Tonight podcast website, and we'll do a big blast so that everyone knows it's there. I'll call some folks I know. I'm sure Chaz will. I'm sure Stro will. We'll all call and help bring some of the great new wrestlers that are out there that just haven't had a chance. So sure, give your phone number out. Everybody get a pad, and you can find out how to get in touch with Paul. And as I said, we will also be glad to put this information directly on the Wrestling Tonight podcast website.
All right, so it's 203-767-8879. So we'll be, you know, definitely looking for some talent. And, again, you know, this is an opportunity to sign with NAWA and, you know, get your feet wet. Get off the ground, man, and get off that sofa. Stop thinking about it and start doing it.
Well, that's what needs to happen, and thanks very much. Amazing Velvet, have you got a question you would like to ask Paul?
Yes, I do. Paul, you had I loved every faction you were with, tag team, the Four Horsemen. I have a question. If you had one match left in you right now, who would you like to wrestle, past, present, or today?
Wow. Wow, ain't that something. Man, you caught me off guard.
I do that all the time, sorry.
Yeah, no,
oh,
hey,
he's good
that's
at that.
A great question. Well, does it have to be single, or can I tag up?
You can tag. Whatever works for you is fine, yeah.
Okay. Power and Glory would want to do one final match, and we would bring the house down against the Rockers.
Nice. I like it. Yeah. I love it.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Good answer. Great answer. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Steve, are you there? You got a question for Paul?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can one of you repeat what Paul's answer was to that previous question?
The Rockers.
Oh, wow, yeah. Shawn Michaels was has been making appearances lately. I won't go into it. But, yeah, I did want to ask Paul. I read you had a stint in boxing. Why did that not get pursued further?
So here's how that went down. I used to kickbox, and one of my good friends was a manager for fighters. And he approached me one day and said, hey, you know, can you still take a punch? And I laughed. I said, well, I guess I can. It's not like you're getting fights every day, but what has changed? So he said, well, listen, you know, I have some fighters, and I was there. I watched you kickbox. And I've seen you take hits. And I'd like to bring you up to Kevin Rooney's camp. I think you could, you know, be the first pro wrestler to turn pro fighter. And I said, well, you know, I'm kind of old. to be doing that. But, you know, I'm more than happy to go up there with you. So we did. He brought a fighter up there with him and myself, and we went into Kevin Rooney's camp, which if everybody doesn't know who Kevin Rooney is, he's the one who trained Mike Tyson. So I went in, looked around, and Kevin turned to me and said, and to the other guy, and said, would you guys like to get in the ring and spar? Excuse me. And I said, well, you know what? I didn't bring anything. I mean, I came up here just to check it out. So Kevin is trying to goat me, and he's saying, oh, so you're afraid. And I said, well, I'm not afraid. I said, but I have no mouthpiece. I said, I have nothing. And I didn't plan on doing anything. I just wanted to see what this is all about. So again, he's trying to goat me, and he said, so you're afraid then? And I said, oh boy, here we go. I said, okay, all right, I'm not afraid. You want me to go in the ring? I'll go in the ring. So he gives me a mouthpiece that was, you know, fresh out of the package. Kind of like, you know, you buy at the store and you're supposed to heat it up, right, in boiling water and then fit it to your teeth. Well, this obviously coming right out of the box, I didn't have that opportunity. So I get in the ring, and he puts me in the ring with a 300-pound, 1-year veteran. And the guy had to be, oh, God, maybe 6'2", maybe 6'3". So he goes, okay, I'm going to let you fight him. I said, that's fine, whatever. So we got in the ring, and me fresh out of wrestling, I'm throwing working punches. Like, this guy's staying back from me, but when he feels my first punch hit him, he's like, well, this guy throws like a punk, right? Because I'm throwing working punches. I'm not trying to hurt this guy. So next thing you know, he comes over the top with an overhand, right, and he splatters my nose, just breaks my nose. Well, that pissed me off. So the bell rang. We got in the corner, and Kevin says, you want to keep going? And I said, hell yeah, because now it's payback time. So I go, you know, the bell rings again, and, you know, I hit him with an overhand right, which sent him back to the ropes, and Kevin starts screaming, stop, stop, stop. And then he goes, yeah, you could come to my camp. He told the other fighter that he brought up, absolutely not. He said he didn't like what he saw out of him, but he liked what he saw out of me. So I moved to the Catskills. I lived in Kevin Rooney's house with a bunch of other fighters. The whole premise of this was for me to fight Gastineau, get some fights under my belt, and end up being the first pro wrestler to box the first pro football player. And then when Gastineau, as I was coming up through the, you know, getting some fights through Kevin, Gastineau got beat. And I said, well, I'm done. You know, that went out the window. So I headed home because, again, who wants to? I don't want to be boxing. I don't want to be away from my family living in the Catskills. Get punched in the face every morning, 5 days a week. Who needs that crap? So back home I went. I got a call from Gastineau's camp. They wanted to take me on, and I told them no. I told them I had enough. That's where that boxing went, pretty much nowhere. All I wanted was, you know, I was 2-1. I had, you know, a 59-second knockout. Vinny Pazienza thought I was pretty decent. Kevin Rooney thought I could win my matches just throwing my left. He said I had one of the best lefts he's ever seen. But you know what? It wasn't for me. Again, you know, these guys start out, they're 14, 15 years old. Here I'm like 32 years old and just getting into boxing. Yeah, not my cup of tea, really. That's where it went.
Yeah, I can relate. I haven't gotten into combat sports, but I have an interest in it a little bit. I did want to ask, I did read that you were on a Australian TV show. Was it Perfect Match? Is that correct? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, Perfect Match. It was in Australia. they asked me to be on, you know. Oh, wait, let's go back. Oh, I'm sorry. No. Perfect Match was here in Connecticut at the studio. That's what you're talking about, right? Is that am I correct with that?
Yeah, I was reading your wiki to find anything interesting, and yeah, that came up, and I was like, wow, you know, dating show in Australia. Like, how did that happen?
Oh, well, the true dating show was down in Australia. They had something here in Connecticut at the studio. It was a spoof.
Oh, okay.
Ray Hercules and I went out on the show, you know, and he's cheating, telling me who to pick, and then, you know, they get switched around, and I end up picking who I think, you know, is going to be the good one, and I end up getting the bad one. But down in Australia, I went on the Perfect Match, which was a dating show, and I had to, you know, pick one of the three women and only go to lunch with them, and then they're invited to the wrestling show that night. That's how they promoted
That's
me down there with SD Jones. Yeah, it was very interesting, to say the least.
Is there a favorite tag team partner? I know we talked about Paul Orndorff earlier. I didn't know if there was any favorite tag team partner you'd want to mention.
Orndorff was a great tag team partner. Orndorff was a great man, stand-up guy. Nobody was better than Hercules. I couldn't get anyone couldn't get a better tag team partner than Hercules.
That's great. Chaz and John, I'm going to let you take over, but I appreciate Paul answering my questions.
That's
Paul,
great, Paul.
My wife had a question for you that she wanted to ask, and it goes along the same lines as to which team you and Hercules would love to work one more time. And she wondered if you guys had ever worked Doom, and if you had any interest in working that tag team, you know, if all the stars were
aligned. Honestly,
I
don't even know who Doom is. Who's Doom?
Ron Simmons and Butch Reed.
Wow. No, man, just, I mean, again, it was the way our thinking was back then was we'll wrestle anybody you want us to wrestle. We're good to wrestle anybody. You know, we could work against the Rockers that, you know, they're super fast, you know, high flying. We had that power and glory. No, we had that power and that agility. So, you know, we had a combination of both things.
That's awesome. No, I mean, I remember watching you guys back in the day, and it was, like you said, it was the perfect balance of power and agility. And it's, you know, it always struck me that different companies, different federations, you know, they didn't do a lot of cross promoting back then, and so it brought up as fans back in that day, it just brought up a lot of intriguing matchups to say, you know, God, if we could see these guys versus these guys, how great that would be.
Yeah, you know, like it's like, you know, when they were trying to build that Flair match, right? Flair and Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
They waited so long that nobody cared.
Right.
You know what I mean? When it was hot is when it should have gotten done. But then nobody cared. It was meaningless. You know, who's the better wrestler? You know, well, look, at the end of the day, Flair's the better wrestler. There's no doubt, hands down. He has, and, you know, as far as the showman, I think you could call it almost even. It all depends who you ask.
Sure.
You know, Hogan put on a good show, but so did Flair. I mean, Flair,
oh, yeah.
My God. So, you know, again, you have to hit it at the peak. And they didn't hit it at the peak. They let it linger and, you know, they let it go by and then nobody cared. I mean, when I was there, it was, you know, that's what they spoke about. And then it never changed until,
I mean, I remember being, 17 years old and watching Crockett's television show on a Saturday on TBS, and they had teased the match beyond. They had teased the War Games. They said they were going to announce the ultimate wrestling spectacle ever in the history of wrestling. And like I said, being a fan back then, I thought they were going to announce Hogan and Flair. And they wound up announcing the War Games, which, again, was a great match, a great series of matches. But the buildup was there. And, we were the magazine generation. We read Pro Wrestling Illustrated and all the other magazines. And to get a lot of before cable came, to get a lot of our news. And all I kept thinking was, geez, they're going to announce Hogan and Flair. This is going to be awesome. And they didn't.
Right. Yeah, they just waited too long, man. They really waited too long.
I have another question for Paul.
Sure, Steve.
I did want to ask, I did read you were voted most improved wrestler in 1990 in PWI. Any thoughts on that or PWI in general?
No, when I was in it, somebody showed me that, and I was like, wow, hey, that's great, but I think you all know, and I hope I say his name right, Meltzer. Is that his name? He did a lot of writing.
Yeah,
that's the
back in the day.
Wrestling Observer guy, yeah.
Yeah, Meltzer, yeah.
Right, Meltzer, okay. People would talk about this guy, and I'm like, who is this guy? Oh, he slams wrestlers, he says some things, good about some wrestlers, but for the most part, he just slams everybody. Like, oh, okay. And somebody had approached me, one of the wrestlers approached me, said, hey, see what Meltzer wrote about you? And I said, no, I really don't know what he wrote about me. Said, oh, it wasn't bad. It was pretty good. Like, oh, okay. So every time people talk about this guy and they slam him, all I remember is, well, he didn't write really anything bad about me. I got no problems with this guy, but again, it's one of those things that it didn't faze me for the most part, because what do I care? At the end of the day, what do I care? It's if I'm going to win,
they don't pay you.
Vince is going to let me win.
Right.
And if I'm going to lose, Vince is going to make me lose. It's not real life out there. You're not, fighting in the street. And the better fighter, the stronger man, the one with the most will wins. It's not it. So, I mean, really, these guys they got the balls to write and knock people when them themselves know that this poor bastard has no say in the matter. He has no control over his wrestling, his wins and losses. I mean, think about it. Everybody knows the truth, and yet you take some poor kid coming up and you bash him. For what reason? When you know he has no control over it, right? Or am I wrong? Tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you're 100% right.
100%.
You're right.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that's why when I get on some of, some interviews, and they start, I get some fans that will say, well, this, that, and the other thing about me. I'm like, listen, you're at home sitting on your sofa watching me wrestle. You have nothing to say to me, nothing at all. When you get your ass up off your sofa and you go out in that ring and you wrestle and make a name for yourself, you come talk to me about it. I mean, think about this. I have no relation with anybody in the world of wrestling. When I started out, everybody was related to somebody, not me. So you know what? As far as I got in wrestling, I'm damn proud of it. What I accomplished, I'm damn proud of it. My name's in the record books. I'm in the encyclopedias of wrestling. They're not taking that away from me. Not happening. So I made my mark. You know what I mean? You may not have pushed me. You may not have put Hercules, Power and Glory on top, but you know what? That's okay. I know one thing. Well, let me rephrase that. I know a few things. I know who and what I am. I know why I was doing it. And I made a dent. I have one of the best bodies, best looking, and can wrestle. So you know what? anybody can say whatever they want, but until you do better than me, sit there, keep your mouth shut, or I'll bitch slap you in the face. Done.
That's right.
That's the best sounding piece of advice I've ever heard. That's great.
I did have another question.
Sure, Steve.
You do a show with Abby Klein, Abby Klein, right, on Facebook and other
Correct.
Platforms.
Correct.
Can you kind of plug that and kind of talk about how you kind of got in contact with them?
Yeah. So Abby Klein has called me. We did a interview, podcast, however you want to say it, and I guess a few months went by. He had called me up and said, "Hey, listen, you know, I'm getting a bunch of different wrestlers together, and I like to do these podcasts. Would you be interested?" And I thought about it, and I really wasn't interested. And I started thinking to myself, you know, everybody keeps, I should say everybody, my family and friends around me kept saying to me, "Why don't you have a podcast? Why don't you have a podcast?" Yeah, I really don't have the time for it, you know, I'm constantly busy. And then I said, you know what? Okay, done. I'm going to do this. So I got back in touch with Avi and said, okay, let's do this. So I came up with the name Maintaining the Truth. I've done a lot of shoot videos. I do believe that what I say isn't sugar-coated. So telling the truth is my forte. That's what I maintain. So I think it's been pretty successful. I'm happy with it. Can it get better? Everything can get better. But Maintain the Truth, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You want to hear about it? You get on there. You can ask any question you want. I'll answer anything that you have to ask. If there's a topic you want to talk about, which I try to make things different, the fans can bring in the topic, whatever it is. You want to talk about movies, it's movies. You want to talk football, let's talk football. Baseball, basketball, whatever you want to talk, we'll talk about. Just bring it up. I'm trying to make it as family. I call it the three F's, family, friends, and fans. I'm trying to make it like, you know, again, keeping it open. You know what I mean? An open format.
I've got a follow-up for that. Can I ask, is the life after wrestling competition great right now? Like, I read that you retired in 2007.
I retired when I lost the belt in Germany. That's when I retired. I fell asleep on my flight coming home, and I could tell you how surreal it was when I landed, and there was this song that I woke up to as the plane touched down, and I said, wow. I said, you know, I'm going to wake up one day, and my life's going to be gone, and what do I have to show for it? Wrestling? Is that it? Is that all I have? So I walked off the plane and I kind of disappeared. And then next thing you know, I was, you know, opening a wrestling school and just getting, you know, involved a little bit more. But my life is, I personally think my life is great after wrestling. You know, I have a beautiful wife, beautiful daughter. I have three beautiful children from my first marriage. And I don't know. I look forward to every day that I wake up. I hope to God that I wake up every day. And every day I wake up, I thank God that I woke up. Because remember one thing, gentlemen, tomorrow's promised to no one.
Exactly.
No, absolutely.
I have something to say to Mr. Roma.
Sure.
He touched a little bit. Go ahead.
Then Velvet after that. Granny Holster's with us, and she'll ask him a question after you do. So go ahead.
Well, it's kind of a statement, really. He touched on this a little bit. These writers and some of these wrestlers today have no clue. They don't have a clue because They weren't trained properly, and they weren't taught anything. They don't know psychology. For me, I carried bags for 3 years. I carried every bag in the business. And if I was on a show with my trainer, or not on the show even, and they say, "Hey, is Dave with you? Can we wrestle Dave?" They'd ask for me because they knew that they were going to have an easy match and go home without getting hurt. And I knew what I was doing, and I was safe, and they didn't want to wrestle somebody they didn't know. You know, and that was respect on both sides. But these kids today don't even know how to put a ring together. They think they're superstars, and, you know, it's, you know, what happens when that ring gets put together wrong and you weren't out there paying attention to it? This is what I tell my guys. You should know how to put that ring together. You should know how to do what you're supposed to do and act accordingly. You don't see that in today's generation of wrestlers.
Well, let me explain something. Let me touch on that. So at my school, every new student that comes in, I basically break it down for them that they will help set up the ring when, you know, we get to our shows, because it's very important that they know how to set up a ring.
Oh, yeah.
If something goes wrong with the ring, you got to know what to do to fix it.
Exactly.
I really and highly stress family-oriented school. So, you know, it's all about respect in my school. I expect everybody to help each other to be the best you can be. And I tell them, if you see them doing something wrong, don't just stand there and watch them. Fix it. Correct them. Okay, I know there's, you know, when I'm there, which obviously is at, you know, every practice, yes, my word is gold. No problem. But I wait to hear from you guys. Don't let them arm drag and say, "Oh, that was great." Was it really great? Or was it just okay? You know, if they thump you,
right,
tell them that they spud you, man. Don't just take a hit from them. Let them know.
Right.
They're going to be out in that ring, and you don't want them doing it to somebody else. So, you know, again, very important, respect, building the rings, and psychology. And I tell them, once you learn psychology, and I break it down, man, you know, to the ABCs, and once you learn that, you're going to have the time of your life in that ring, because you'll find wrestling so enjoyable after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, and I think that's what wrestling is missing. I'm glad you explained that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, because it's not about just taking bumps.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, can I ask a question before we get back, Granny? I want to ask a question of Tony and of Stroh. We touched on an interesting subject earlier about, you know, the one wrestler that you would love to have had a match with. And I want to ask Tony and Stroh their opinion. You know, who's the one wrestler that you would love to have one more go with?
Stroh, do you want to go first?
I've been really blessed, first of all, to be in this pro wrestling business for the years I have been, and been in the ring with some great, great people over the years. And Paul mentioned some of the greats earlier, with Hogan and Flair, were tremendous, and you know, Steamboats and all that. But of all the great people I've been in the ring with, I think the one guy I would like to come back and face would have to be Kurt Angle, hands down, because being a brother of the mat, if you will, and having the amateur background that I have collegiately and with the MMA and in Japan and everything, I really, you know, I always had a deep respect for Kurt Angle and the Olympic athletes that moved on to and competed in the Olympics, because I've stated in my other podcasts that your Olympic athlete is a whole new level of athlete from your normal athlete. Normal athlete trains hard, mind you, but an Olympic athlete is just on a whole new level. And for Kurt Angle to do what he's done collegially and in pro wrestling is just tremendous. And he's the one guy I would definitely would love to step in the ring with on my bucket list for sure.
That's a great one, Stro.
Am I up?
You're up, Paul.
As a fan, you know, going back to the days, on top of my head, I have to say, and I've done stuff with him in the ring, but Bruno Sammartino as a fan, I would love to really have a great match with Bruno overall as a fan. As a worker, you know, still back in the days, personally, I would love to have gotten into the ring with Tommy Wildfire Rich, personally. He's been like an idol to me, his style of wrestling, and I really believe that he will really push me to really perfection, excellence, and that's just my personal, you know, over the years. I don't disagree with what Stroll's saying, but, you know, to me, I'm still old, in that old mentality of guys from back in the days that I would love to really be able to highlight me as a star also, to be able to show my talent. That's why I have so much respect, you know, with Paul and even, you know, his partner, you know, Ray Hercules. He's taught me so much in a year and a half that we were together, almost 2 years, about bringing everything to fruition. You know, that total package of behind the scenes, the in-ring psychology, and, you know, we said this before in the podcast, you know, recently, you know, be nice to the people on the way up, same people on the way down. So he's enhanced my career as a wrestler, per se, that gave me the confidence to do what I had to do. You got to remember, I was almost 350, 400 pounds, and I was never really able to be loose enough, because I was like always like a little tense back in those days. But it was guys like that. And on another note, I just want to address Paul for a second. Yeah, Paul, one reason why that decision was made with Paul, and you could just hear it in his voice, that perfectionist, and people that know me behind the scenes, they know that, you know, to a degree, I am very meticulous and I have a vision. And the professionalism of Paul Roma and what he could bring to the table and to the NWA, it's really a match made in heaven. We're both on the same page. You know, and he instills in the students, and I've been there, that old school tradition. You know, my first time I was up there about 2 months ago, and you know, everyone came out of the ring, you know, yes, sir, how are you, sir? And it's just that respect. And that's what we were always built on, you know, back in those days. You know, it was just a total thing. And, you know, Paul, once again, you know, we talked about this tons of times. I'm personally honored and humbled that you, we could come to an agreement for you to come on board and bring your vision, which is my vision, to bring this to fruition. And it's just a matter of sitting back and having a fan just watch and see what we're going to bring to the table. You know, and you're a very modest person, you know, which I love you about that. And, well, if you don't mind, if you could just hit on one thing, which you never talk about really, but it's something that I'm always like, wow. One of the highest drop kicks ever in the business was from you. Do you mind just touching on that for a second, please?
Well, you know, it's just my work ethic. So pound for pound, I was the strongest wrestler in professional wrestling. There were some guys that questioned it, challenged it, went to the gym with me, and found out that it was legit. And Hawk was one of them. I could see his face. I always forget his name. Barbarian, Warlord. Warlord tested me, and I proved it to him. So, when it came to the drop kick, I really trained hard at working on my jumping ability. You know, I didn't want to do anything like everybody else did. And then when I got into wrestling, I started to hear, and when I say got into it, meaning as the you know, months went by, is what I mean by getting into wrestling. I started hearing about, you know, jumping Jim Brunzel, and I was like, wow, you know, this guy could jump, but I need to do my thing when I'm given the chance. So my first drop kick that I put out was in Hamilton, Ontario. I was wrestling Big John Studd, and Fuji brought me over to him. and said, you know, basically, this is my guy. And so Stud said to me, what would you like to do? And I said, well, sir, whatever you'll let me do, you know, whatever that is. And he said, well, what do you do really well? I said, well, I could drop kick you. And he looked at me from 7 feet up, and he says, he laughed at me, and he says, you're going to drop kick me? And he starts laughing. And now he pissed me off, because I'm like, you know, I'm looking at this guy going, like, who the hell are you? You know, you're laughing at what I just said? Well, now I'm insulted. So I looked at him, I said, yeah, I'll drop kick you right off the top of your effing head. I said like that to him. So he goes, now he gets serious. And he goes, okay, like that to me. And I walked away going, okay, I'll show you okay. So when we got in the ring, I drop kicked him. I planted my left foot on his forehead and my right foot over the top. And when I came back into the locker room, the chief runs in. Chief J. Strongo runs in. He goes, Mr. Roma. And I said, yes, sir. And I think I did something wrong. He goes, Caesar said that you're to drop kick every match you're in. And I went, excuse me? He goes, yes, every match you're to drop kick. And I was like, okay, done. No big deal. To me, I was happy, you know. So that is where the drop kick, that's where I got my notoriety for the drop kick. And from that point on, and I like Brian Blair, don't get me wrong. Brian used to constantly dig at me. Anytime, you know, I was in air distance, he would say, you know, hearing distance, he'd say, you know, yeah, well, my partner's got the highest drop kick in wrestling. And I wouldn't say a word. I'd just sit there and say, dude, not even close to me. I don't want to hear this. I know you're trying to get my goat. It's not going to happen. Okay, just keep talking. I'm not saying a word to you. I'm just not going to acknowledge you. You're just going to make me want to jump even higher. That's all you're doing is making me want to jump higher. And that's what I worked on. So, but I didn't. Again, I worked on it. It wasn't just a natural thing. It was something that I worked very hard at. So that's why, you know, it was very difficult for me as a wrestler, as a tag team partner, to always, as I put it, you know, have to sit back while other people made the decision on who's going to win and who's going to lose.
Wow.
Hope that answers.
I tell you what,
you know?
Paul, we've got one of our best friends is Granny Hulkster. She's one of the most amazing fans in America. She's from Springdale, Arkansas. And Granny, say hello to Paul, and what kind of a question do you have for him tonight?
Well, first of all, Paul, hello. I am not a wrestler. I'm just a huge wrestling fan, and I was given this gimmick name because I love wrestling. And I love hollering at the bad guys when I go to wrestling shows. But it is a true pleasure and an honor to get to speak with you tonight. I watched you back in the day, so many wonderful matches, so many amazing people that you shared the square circle with. But my first question is, what was it like, or what was your most one of your most favorite matches when you tagged with Jim Powers back in the day?
Wow. I think the Hart Foundation, we had a lot of fun with them. We also had a lot of fun with the Islanders. They were, you know, again, when I say fun, I mean people that are good to work with. That's what I mean by fun. It's not fun when, you know, you're getting hurt for no reason when you shouldn't be getting hurt with other wrestlers. Oh, before I forget, now listen, I don't want to start any trouble with you, okay?
You're
we just
not.
Met.
Trust me, you're not.
I just got to tell you this. I think Glory Granny goes a lot better. Just throwing it out there.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, well, like I said, somebody just gave me that nickname because I when I asked the person that gave it to me, I said, why are you calling me that? He said, because you like wrestling. And I have a friend, I had a very good friend that made me my original granny shirt. It said, "What you going to do when Granny Holster goes crazy on you?" And I started wearing that to independent shows. And I mean, I still have that shirt even today, 25 plus years later. I mean, that's how long I've had this gimmick name. You know, I've been in Arkansas since 1988, and I think I got the gimmick name right around 1999, 2000, something like that. I mean, I've had it a long time, you know. So, I mean, I enjoy watching the sport. My husband and my son and I are huge fans. And I guess my other question to you is, when you were part of WCW, what was one of your most successful matches that you had when you tagged with Arn Anderson? Because my family and I had the pleasure to get to meet Arn Anderson at an independent show last year in Hot Springs, Arkansas for CWA, and he was absolutely amazing when we got to talk to him. So what was one of your most successful matches with Arn when you tagged with him?
I think Arn and myself against the Hollywood Blondes. I think that was one of my favorite matches. You know, when I first went into WCW, I was not too welcome into that. You know, coming from the north, coming down south, it was like taboo, especially coming from the WWF at the time. I wasn't, you know, there weren't any open arms other than Dusty Rhodes. There weren't too many people that were opening their arms to hug me. Dusty did right off the bat. You know, he's just that guy. He's such a beautiful man. So I would say, you know, the Hollywood Blondes. I think what straightened out my fitting in was in the locker room when we got done with a match. And it was me, Austin, Pillman. There was one more guy there. Not that that mattered. And they were talking. I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know, it's all fun. It's all fun, guys. You know, putting a little hurting on the new guy. It's all fun." I said, "But what goes around comes around, and you're all going to feel the same thing real soon." And I think that's what kind of woke them up to say, "Hey, listen, you know what? I'm not taking your shit anymore. All right, you guys are going to treat me with respect. You're going to work with me and not be stiff, or I'm going to show you how it is to be stiff." I had no problem. Believe me, Arn Anderson used to call me Crowbar. He said when he was getting beat up in the ring, he'd be like, "Crowbar." And he'd give me the wave, and here I came in. And I hit people with some really stiff clotheslines. And, you know, again, he should remember that because that's what he used to call me, Crowbar.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Paul.
But,
yeah, you know, it was fun. I mean, Arn and I got along. Just like I said in my shoot videos, Arn and I got along. When I did the video for WWE, when they were asking me about the Four Horsemen, when I did that Four Horsemen video, it was this, you know, to stoke everybody up. Well, Arn said this about you, and Flair said this about you, and da da da, because they were trying to sell the video. I get it. I mean, I sat there for what, 2 hours, 3 hours, and they used maybe 30 seconds out of all that time. That's what you got, 30 seconds. I find that hard to believe, but, you know,
wow.
It was to sell videos. I get it. But I've seen Arn pass that and, you know, go over, talk to him, shake his hand, you know, have nice cordial conversations. It's all good. No issues.
Awesome.
Mr. Do you mind if I...
It's been a true... Oh, go ahead, Steve.
Oh, sorry to cut you off.
No, that's okay.
You mentioned Arn calling you Crowbar. Did you ever work with Chris Ford, Crowbar?
No, I haven't.
I had to follow up on that, but Granny, continue.
Oh, no, that's okay. Well, like I said, I mean, it's so much fun for me. Like I said, I love interacting at the shows, and I had Tommy Dreamer one time before I had my first knee replacement. I was having to walk with a cane, and Tommy Dreamer took my cane out of my hand and used it on Matt Riviera at a TCW show, and that was the last show that they did in 2013. And they're like, "Oh my God, he broke Granny's cane!" You know? Everybody's just in the back, you know, just. But I mean, I love interacting. I love making it fun. You know, and my husband and I had the opportunity to meet Ron Simmons and Tony Atlas last year at an autograph signing. And Ron told me, he says, "Granny," he says, "I have to give you a compliment." He says, "You are that true fan that we so loved back in the day that we don't see much of anymore." And I mean, yeah. I love the old school wrestling, and that's why I love hearing about the NAWA, because, you know, I love the old school wrestling, you know, back in the day. I mean, Rock and Roll Express. I mean, oh my goodness, you know, just the list goes on and on. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I mean, I enjoy the sport so much, and I enjoy, you know, when the bad guys come holler at me and they get in my face and holler at me, I just holler right back, because, you know, this is what I love to do. And
well, listen, I'm going to make sure if you're at one of our shows, I'm going to make sure someone comes over and they holler at you.
Well, that's okay. You can holler at me. I might holler back. You know,
Granny,
I'll just holler back, you know.
Wait a second. Except for me, Granny. Tell these people how much you love me.
Now, Chaz, I told you, you're having those delusional dreams again. That has not been yet determined. I know this is your birthday. I'm being nice to you because it's your birthday, so happy birthday. But you need to go take your medication, because it's not been determined.
Ooh.
I truly love you yet, child.
Oh, wow.
See how I can talk smack to the heels? Paul, you know, I had one wrestler get... I had one wrestler get in my face one time, Paul. He says, "Granny, don't you have a curfew at the nursing home?" I grabbed my keys out of my purse, and I doubled up my fists, and I threw my fists in his face. I said, "Baby, I don't need no curfew. I got keys to the building." And he ran off screaming.
Oh, my goodness.
But it has been a pleasure and an honor to get to speak to you, sir, because, like I said, I so much enjoyed watching you wrestle back in the day. I mean, with, you know, it's just, you had so many amazing matches in your career, and it's just a true, anytime I get to talk to a legend, like somebody like yourself, it's just such a true honor and a pleasure for me just to get to speak to people like you all, because I love the sport so much, and I try to make it fun for the fans, and if I have somebody that I'm at a show at and they don't know who to boo for or who to cheer for, I said, just watch me, you know, just watch Granny, and just follow my cue, and I'll show you who to cheer. And I've been told by different wrestling companies that I've been at that they thank me for being there and making the show fun for everybody, because they love when I'm there, because I'm like the little cheerleader. I get the crowd. You know, you have some people that they're afraid to holler or shout or whatever, and they start watching me, and I get up on my feet and start hollering at somebody and clapping, and everybody just follows my lead. And I love doing what I do.
Well, it's you, the fan. You know, it's a fan like you that, you know, somebody like me would enjoy seeing. And these other guys, they do enjoy seeing it, because you make it for them. You know, that's what we want to see, you know. So I greatly appreciate you. And I'm so glad I got a chance to speak with you.
Me too, sir. Me too. It's been an honor. Thank you,
Paul,
Dr. John.
This will not be the only time you get to speak to Granny. You've got at least four brand new friends tonight, and so we're glad to have you as part of our bunch of friends that just love wrestling, and that includes our other ones. Includes, of course, Chaz and Papa Stro and Tony. But you know, you've got Velvet now, and you've got Steve, me, of course, for sure. And you know, that's what wrestling's all about. Is in a way, it's about how to make friends. And I think it's very
family.
Important.
It is.
Family.
And again, yes. And you know what? Again, I appreciate it. I appreciate you being on, bringing me on your show, you know, helping us out here, getting the name NAWA out there for everybody. And value your opinion. When we do our show, we value, you know, your opinion, what you think, because again, it's all about, you know, bringing that product that you all enjoy to you. And we don't want to fail at that. That's something that is just not, you know, it's not in my vocabulary.
Right.
Failing is not in my vocabulary.
Yep. It's not in any of ours either.
No.
Anybody else got a question?
Nope.
John, I just want to make a statement. If I could just. Sure, Velvet. No, go ahead, Velvet.
Yeah, Velvet.
I want to thank Tony and I want to thank Tony and Paul for an old school guy like me that love that you're going to do what you're going to do and bring wrestling back the way it should be. And I want go out on a limb right here and tell you something that I came up with 20 something years ago when I first started running my shows. And I want to see if you guys like this, and if you like it, I wish you would use it. Okay. My logo for my company has always been respecting the past by building the future. And that was always my motto and my logo when I ran. So if you guys want to use that, you may.
I appreciate that, brother. Really do. And I just want to say one thing to Granny. I mean, when we first spoke a little while back, if you can't make our events, I know behind the scenes, Paul and myself, we are planning to come in your area. And you and your family, I would be honored if you'd be our guest at the show. And you know, there's so much going on with the relaunch and locations. But in the near future, we're definitely going to be in your area that we're working on right now. And on behalf of Paul and the NAWA family, I'd be honored if you and your family would be at our show as our guest. You're such a class act.
Oh, that
act.
Would
you
be
really
awesome.
Yeah.
You just let me know when, and we'll even if I have to change my schedule around somewhere, I will make a point that we make it to your show for sure, Tony, because
I
would be honored
that.
And I would be honored, my family and I would be honored and privileged to get to come to your show. And whatever I can do, like I said, I extended an invitation to you before. You make it to our area, whatever I can do to help you all promote that, spread the word, share it, whatever, get the people there. Granny is your girl, because I would be honored and privileged to be able to be
Thank
a part
you.
Of the NAWA and help spread the word to get the old school wrestling back to the
Thank
way
it used
to be.
Thank you so much. I
really
appreciate it. Thank you.
And that's
Thank
what
you,
we
Granny.
Need. That's
it.
What we need. You're welcome.
All right. Well, I think we've had a great night getting to know Paul Roma. There's a lot about you, Mr. Roma, and it's so good. We've learned a lot of things about you, what makes you tick a little bit in the ring. And I tell you what, will you come back another time and talk with us?
Always. Not a problem.
Well, thanks
and
a lot.
Dr. John, before closing, I was just talking to Chaz, and basically on behalf of the NAWA, next Sunday, we would like to have the President of Talent Relations, Mario Mancini, another legend of WWF, and a different perspective. And if it all permits with you guys, I'd love to have Mario on the show next week and give you a different insight of the NAWA on the talent side of it and also as a wrestler.
That
Absolutely.
Sounds great. Chaz, what do you think?
Yeah, we'd love to have Mario.
Papa Stro, what do you think?
That's great.
Okay, well you got it. We'll,
awesome.
We'll
before
talk.
Before we close, let's do a whip around with our plugs. Who wants to start? Stro, you want to start with your plugs for the week?
Sure. In the Room, I'll be on In the Room podcast this Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VSNation.com with Brady Hicks, Kat Fitzpatrick, Derek McDonald, Matt Grimm. And then Thursday night on WCW Retro, we returning there at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VOCNation.com. Working on a guest for this week. But next week's WCW Retro podcast,
guest will be the one and only Billy Silverman.
Oh, wow.
Former official WCW. Be a special guest for next week's WCW Retro. And this Friday night, with the kickoff for Papa Ween in the month of October for the Strozone Show at my official Facebook page, facebook.com/StrollerMaestro at midnight Eastern Standard Time. And this Friday night's feature will be Fright Night, starring Roddy McDowell. So please tune in.
Oh, that's awesome.
Great movie. Great movie.
Yep, one of my favorites. Tony, plugs for the week, brother.
Not all I can tell. I mean, things are happening day by day on Facebook, Tony Capone, NAWA, if you want to get directly in contact with me. We also started the NAWA wrestling page, which fans are coming out in droves, and I appreciate that. And this week we also debuted the Godfather of Wrestling, Tony Capone, in my Facebook page personally. And the website, NAWAwrestling.com, for daily updates of things that are happening. And they're literally happening on an hour-by-hour basis, you know, as you know, Chaz, behind the scenes. But that's it. And, you know, just, again, thank you guys for having the NAWA as part of your platform. And we really sincerely appreciate it. And we're trying to do the best to bring back that old-school quality with the new flair to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Paulie, any further thoughts? Any plugs for the week?
No, okay on that right now.
AWA,
the other thing,
brand new.
Yep.
We're going to take everybody by storm. We're going to shock. We're going to shock the wrestling world. And I expect everybody to get back to us. And you tell me if I'm wrong. You could see me on Maintaining the Truth on Wednesday night at 7 on Facebook Live and on Twitch. And if you have any issues, just give me a shout. I'll be more than happy to address them there. Or you got my number now. If you need something, give me a shout.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Velvet, you're up, brother. Any plugs for the week?
No, I'm good, actually. I'm good. I don't have anything going on this week, not till next week. So, yeah, I'm good this week.
Okay. Granny?
Well, I would like to plug the podcast that I help with on Monday nights called Attitude Era Live. We talk to independent wrestlers. We talk to musicians. We talk to actors, actresses. I mean, you never know who we're going to have on. It's 9 o'clock Central Time, 10 o'clock Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Anybody has any questions or would like to be a guest on Attitude Era Live, they can message me on Facebook. Lori Bird is my Facebook page, parentheses, Granny Holster in parentheses. So if you have any questions and would like to be a guest on Attitude Era Live, I can get you the contact information for the host of the show. I just help kind of co-host with it, but would love to have, you know, anybody on that would like to come on, you know, Stro, we would love to get you on our show. Paul, if you had the opportunity, I'm sure I could talk to the host. We would love to get you on our podcast as well, sir. And even you, Tony,
Thank you.
At some point in time to work your, well, that way you can spread the word about NAWA, you know, to some more listeners. So we would love
to have you
all on our show as well, sir. So,
you
all can message me on Facebook and, you know, and we can get that set up. And so that's my plug for the week, guys. So everybody have a great week.
Awesome. Steve, you're up, brother.
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Stellar Steven. And always looking forward to calling on WCW Retro's Stro Show. So those are my plugs for the week.
I'm going to keep it real simple for myself. I want everybody to check out the NAWA's Facebook page. And for everything you want to know about the NAWA, please take a look at our website, www.nawawrestling.com. So this is one of the rare times where Chaz is not going to pontificate, run off at the mouth for more than an hour. So enjoy it. Thank you all for the birthday wishes.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, Chaz.
All right,
Dr. John.
Dr. John,
sir.
Do I get a plug tomorrow night on Scary Cast with co-hosts Papa Stro, Robin McRae, Tony Pelosi, Devin Tate, and myself? Our special guest, believe it or not, is Cindy Snow. We're going to talk to her about lots of cool stuff, including wrestling. So join us tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, at scarycast.com, and you can listen to Cindy Snow get interrogated, and we're going to have a great time. And listen, thanks, everybody, for coming out tonight. We've had a great time with you on Wrestling Tonight. We'll be back next week, 10 p.m. Just check the website tomorrow or worst case Wednesday. We'll have all the information about the great shows coming up. Oh, and one other thing. Thanks to Amazing Velvet, I am going to get to have Susan Green and Judy Martin on ScaryCast here very, very soon. Please don't miss them. They're world heavyweight champions, and they're great women wrestlers and great people. So, look, have a good one, everybody. Stay safe. Be careful. And we'll talk to you next week on Wrestling Tonight. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.